Amen. Y'all, many of the ladies are part of a women's study here at MBF. And the women's study, y'all been studying Job, right? And I've talked to a handful of you ladies, and I've been hearing that God is doing some amazing things in your hearts through this study of Job. Like, ladies, if you're out there, you participating in it, can I get an amen? All right, then. You know, now, because of your study, it kind of made me think. I was just thinking, like, as far as sermons about Job and as far as just studying Job, I hadn't done that in a really, really long time. We hear it in Sunday school, you know, or when somebody's talking about suffering, they kind of mention Job. But I became to get curious. I'm like, God, you know, how about you just refresh my memory and teach me something new that I hadn't really learned before through the book of Job. So I started reading the book of Job, and Job blew my mind because God was like, look, break down all previous, you know, like just break down everything you think you know about Job. Come with a clean slate. Come listen to it. You know, come read it. Come understand it. And let me work on your heart with that. So I'm like, okay, God, let's go. And I started reading it, and you all, God rocked my world. And I've never really felt as uncomfortable as I have in the book of Job like I have been in the last couple of weeks. Like, uncomfortable. So much that Job became a really hard read for me. Job. Heard it in Sunday school like crazy. So, since I became uncomfortable, I ain't about to be the only one feeling uncomfortable. Y'all about to feel uncomfortable too. Can I get an amen with that? Even if you didn't say amen, it don't matter. Let's get uncomfortable together. Now, but God laid this on my heart to share with you all. And I'm really excited what God has done in my life. And I just pray that he does something incredible in yours by hearing about Job. But let's start off at the very beginning, very first few verses. We got that, there we go. Verse 1, Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Verse 2, there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Dude had 10 kids. How on earth can he call himself blessed? 10 kids. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. This dude's livelihood, his business was booming, had all of these things. So this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So not only was this guy extremely rich, and not just rich with possessions, you know, but he had crazy good influence, many servants, he's a good boss, good dad of 10 kids. And verse 1 said that, like, he was blameless and upright. Not sinless, but blameless, and he feared God. It sounded like a really good Christian man that you really wanted to follow, good godly man. Verse 5 tells us that he was also a good father, because this guy would wake up early in the morning and he would offer burnt offerings to God on the behalf of his children. He was thinking, like, maybe my children did something wicked in their heart and they didn't offer a burnt offering to God to forgive them for their sins. So I am going to be the good God. I'm going to be the good dad, and I'm going to do that on their behalf. Just in case they didn't. Like, so he obviously loved his children, obviously knew that sin, you know, is terrible, and it's all about loving and worshiping God. Good godly man. And we all know what, those who know the story, we all know that what happens from there. Like, he had to endure a great amount of suffering. He lost his livelihood, lost his children, and experienced some extreme health problems. But despite all of that, he stood fast. Despite all of that, he persevered and he honored God. Sin would not come from his lips. Like, he loved God, honored God, and worshiped God. So anytime I heard that story, I was thinking, like, all right, I'm in a bit of suffering. I need to worship God. It's funny, you know, I stomp my toe you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm just like Job, you know. Hey, have you all ever experienced that before? You know, you suffer, and you're like, oh, we're like Job. We're like, come on, bro. Like, this dude lost his livelihood, lost his children, and we're not like Job at all. But we get the moral of the story. In the midst of our sufferings, we need to worship God. I'm reading this passage, and I'm blown away by what Job is experiencing, and I'm saying, hey, amen. Come on, Job. Then I reread it and started feeling pretty daggum uncomfortable. Something just in this passage threw me way off. So much that God was like, look, I want you to pause here and I want you to camp here. I'm like, no, God, I don't want to because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm kind of good today. You know, it's a beautiful day outside. Come on, God. You know, and he's like, oh, let's go there. I've shown you this scripture for years. Now it's time for me and you to dive in that bad boy. So let's do it together. And I did it. I read it. And what made me uncomfortable wasn't the suffering. It was the passage that happened before the suffering. Let's read it together. Verse 6. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. First of all, that got me confused. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought, like, Satan was like camped in hell somewhere. I mean, so is this in heaven or some unknown spiritual place? I don't know that the sons of God, like the angels and demons, are somehow giving account to God, standing before God, and then Satan comes along there. Now, if the Bible said it, it actually happened. So I'm thinking, does this stuff still happen? Does God still sit somewhere, you know, and people come before him that have to give account of what's going on? You know, they have to present themselves before the Lord, angels and demons, and Satan is allowed in there? Like, really, God? Is that what happens? Now, I don't know. The scripture doesn't confirm whether this still happens or I don't see, God, Jesus told, I believe it was Peter, that said that, hey, you know, Satan, he made a request of you. He wants to sift you like wheat. Maybe this still happens. I don't know, but it just got me thinking, okay, that's crazy. But let's keep going. So the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Check this out. Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Put a pin in that. All right? We're going to go back to that. The devil is roaming the earth. He said, hey, have you considered Job? Jesus said, God said, have you considered Job? Oh, don't get me started on that. That there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But you stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. God gave him permission. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Right after Satan removed himself from the presence of the Lord, that's when the affliction started happening on Job. Job lost his livelihood. He lost his children within a day, within an afternoon. In fact, it says that one servant was saying, like, hey, you know, the enemy came and killed this, and fire came from heaven and killed this, and all of this stuff is happening. While the other people were talking to Job, what's happening, other bad stuff was happening. And all of this affliction happened at once. But this is what makes me uncomfortable. God said, have you considered Job? The devil was just roaming earth. He was just going down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal. And then Jesus and God highlighted Job and said, hey, Job, hey, Satan, Look at him. Have you considered him? There Satan goes, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I know, Job. You take all of the stuff away, he'll curse you to your face. And then God says, okay, you got the power. Now think about this. Nothing happens without God's permission, God's plan. Like nothing happens. Nothing. Nobody gets the green light to do anything without God giving the green light first. He is the green light. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that God himself not only brought the attention to Job, but you gave the green light for you to oppress him, to afflict him? Have you ever been considered of doing something, like, have you ever been considered for something, being considered for something that you didn't want to be considered for? They have this women's conference called Pure Joy. You remember when I was there, right? Now, so my buddy, they asked my buddy to, they were doing this Sister Act deal. You know, anybody ever seen Sister Act 2? And then you got, you know, the joyful, joyful, whatever. Well, if you know that movie in the middle, at the end of that movie, in that song, there's a rapping part, right? Black dude, white dude, and they're rapping joyful, joyful. So they asked him to do the rap part. And so my buddy was like, oh, I know a guy who would be really good at doing that other rap part. Good old Richard. So he gives me a call. He was like, hey, man, you want to do this rap part? You know, I kind of threw your name out there. And I'm like, no. I don't want to go to a women's conference and be the only black dude there rapping and rapping Sister Act. I don't want to do that. But guess what I did? So I show up. And they was like, hey, show up a few hours early. A few hours early, it's just all women there. And they're women, you're awesome, but come on, I just don't want to be around 300 women. So I'm there, and I'm back in the back, and they're doing the leaders, you know, deal. So it was like 30 leaders, you know, back there, and they are praying like crazy. And so they're like, okay, we're going to circle up, we're going to pray. So immediately I'm like, let me go and find the exit button real quick. They're like, hey, Richard, you want to come too? And I'm like, shoot. So I get there, and they're praying. And I mean, the first lady who prays, she gets three words in and starts boo-hooing. She goes, Jesus, I... and I'm like... And they're popcorn, and they're going around praying. And now it falls on me. And I love praying, but I just don't want to pray around a bunch of crying women. And so I'm like, God, I pray that everything goes well. You know, and so they finish praying. And again, I'm just sitting there doing a rap. And a lady comes up to me and grabs my hands, looks me square. Thank you so much for serving God. I don't know you. And so she's just crying. So we do the rap. He starts early, so I had to rap his part and my part right after we finish. Y'all were there. Chantel, you remember that? And so as soon as I was finished, like I sprint, like, I, you know, we had to sprint out like whenever we were done. So I sprinted out. I did not stop stride, and I sprinted all the way to the truck, and I went home. Called my buddy, I'm like, bro, don't ever do that to me ever again. Some of y'all know what it feels like to be considered. You know, some of y'all got a truck and it's time to move, and somebody was like, oh, hey, my buddy has a truck. It's probably the worst thing I could have ever done in my entire life was to buy a truck because everybody wants to use it. You all ask me, like, by the way, sorry, that sounded mean. Ask me, I would love to help you out, all right? Holly and Jason just did it not too long ago. Ask me, I love you guys. Oops, anyway. Have you ever been considered for something that you want to be considered for? God highlights Job. Highlights Job, and Job handles his affliction really well at first. But then he kind of takes a left turn, big time. Job 13:3, this is what Job says. Like, But I will speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with God. Job was good at first, but then he started thinking of all this affliction, this stuff happening. He has boils all over his body. And the word said that he has a piece of broken, a broken piece of pottery. And so he's scraping his sword to get some sort of release from all of this pain all over his body. And he has to deal with that physical pain, plus the pain that his children are gone, his livelihood is gone, period. He starts thinking about that stuff. He goes, no, wait a minute. I'm thinking about myself. Like, I've been honoring God. I'm a righteous brother. Like, why am I experiencing all of this stuff? I demand some answers. His three buddies come through. Oh, well, maybe it's because of this and this and this. And he's mad at him. Like, no, I'm going to take this up with God. And so that's why he says in 13, I will speak to the Almighty and I desire to argue my case with God. He's going to put his righteousness up against God's righteousness. How do you think that's going to work out? Let me give you a hint. Not good. He wants to know why he is suffering like this. And then he makes his case. So we see in chapter 3 and on up, like, he is making his case to God. He's making his case to his brothers as well. Like, he talks about how well he loves God and how much that he serves his neighbors. He's like, hey, if my neighbors need a place to stay, they stay with me. Like, I welcome them. In Job 31:1, he says, hey, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully upon a woman. So not only am I honoring you, God, not only am I honoring my brothers, but I ain't about to look lustfully upon no woman. Like, I got my woman, my wife, and I can look her up and down like crazy. All these other girls, forget them, because I'm going to honor you and I'm going to honor them. So he's making his case of why, you know, not understanding why all of this stuff is happening to him. And he's like, it shouldn't happen to me because you see, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. Also in the Bible, also in Job, he even says that, like, what's the use of even living righteously? What's the use of it? If this is going to happen anyway, does it even matter? Have you ever done that, church? You experienced a great amount of suffering, Christians. You've experienced a great amount of suffering, and you're going to God, and you're like, God, why am I experiencing this? Like, I want some answers. Give me understanding of why on earth I'm suffering like this. Because I know I mess up from time to time, but come on, God. Like, I don't deserve this. Not at all. I pray, I serve my children, I serve my brothers and sisters. I read the word, I understand the word, I reteach the word. Like, why? Why do I have to go through some unnecessary suffering? Am I the only one who's ever experienced that, men and women? Job said that and God answered him. Oh, God answered him. Chapter 38, 39, and 40, and he gives them an answer. And I'm like, God, you really answered like this? This is how you choose to answer? Check this out. 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. He answered him in the eye of a violent storm. And he said this to him. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. Check this out. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have, you know, understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? Like, wait. So Job lost everything. He lost his livelihood. He lost his children. And he's experiencing bad health. And he's like, God, give me an answer. And God goes, who are you to bring anything to me? Like, who are you to make your case against me? And so when he says that, who is it that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He goes, who are you? You don't know nothing. Then he says, dress for action like a man. He says, all right, you're afflicted, but you stand up like a man whenever you talk to me. It is not you who brings your case to me. I bring my case to you. I don't know about you all, and I love God, but doesn't that seem kind of like a jerky answer? Think about this. What if you are at work and you are experiencing some crazy amount of affliction that's at hand to your boss, and you go to your boss and you're like, hey, can you help me understand? Like, why am I getting treated like this? Like, what's up? Have I not been a good employee? Have I not done what you want me to do? And your boss looks at you and goes, who are you to come to me? Don't you bring that stuff to me. You don't understand this. You will leave and you were like, huh, what a jerk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not calling God a jerk at all. God, you know that. You know, but man, that's a tough answer. He's like, look, you don't know, understand. Like, where were you when I created this earth? You tell me, since you're so wise, would you live 50, 60 years? Tell me, where were you? I sure could have needed your help whenever I was creating this earth. Where were you at? Who laid the measurements out? You wasn't there. Pretty much, y'all, what God was doing was putting Job back in his place. Job wanted answers, and God goes, I don't answer to you. God put Job back in his place. Now, check this out. And there for a couple of years, I was the mascot at my college, Southwest Baptist University. I was BC the Bearcat. And this thing looked like the most non-threatening creature you could ever see, the most friendliest mascot ever. So I'm in this mascot uniform. And so when I'm at the games, kids would go crazy. Of course, they would go crazy with mascots. And, you know, it's like they had unlimited access to the mascot. And what these kids would do, they would tease me and pick on me and all this stuff, because I had this big old long tail, and they would come and they would yank the tail, you know. So I'm just talking or whatever, and I'm like, man, watch out, you know. And I'm like, you know, but I'll go to them and I say, hey, you know, after a while, and especially they keep hitting me, I'm like, hey, stop. And they keep doing it. Well, one day, this kid just kept doing it, kept getting on my nerves. And so I look at him and I'm like, hey, dude, stop it. You know, but all he sees is, do I got a picture of the mascot? Is that up there? Look at that. And so all he sees is me doing, don't do it. Knock it off. And so he kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. So eventually I had enough. And so I took that mascot, you know, because you see out of his mouth, and I opened up the mouth, and emerging from this fictitious, cuddly, furry creature was the head of an angry black man. And I looked at this kid and I said, knock it off. And the kid went, and he ran. Because I had to tell him, like, look, don't let this cute, cuddly face fool you. I'm about to tell you who I is, bruh. You know, let you know who I am. I had to put the kid back in his place and say, hey, I'm a grown man. You don't do that to me. He got the point. God flexes muscles right there and goes, I don't answer to you. I love you. You're my son. But come on, I'm God. Don't forget that. Church, God tells, the reason why God does this, he's telling Job, he's reminding Job about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty means the complete power and authority of God. Check this out. Church, there is absolutely nothing that happens in this universe that is outside God's influence and authority. Nothing. Nothing that happens. And he's reminding Job of that. Romans 9:20 says, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Like if you're making, if you're the potter and you're making a pot, you're making a mug, you're making a vase, it's not what you're making. What is the vessel to clap back at the Creator? Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable. I love the word inscrutable. It means impossible to understand. How inscrutable are his ways. It doesn't matter how smart we are. It doesn't matter how much we are in his word. We need to know that his ways are much, much, much higher than ours. We can't even understand it. Our brains aren't created for us to understand the ways of God. It's not. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts, God's saying this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts, your thoughts, than your thoughts. Now, church, hear this. I know that's hard to hear. I know it's difficult to understand that we should just know that God's ways are higher than ours. Okay. And that's hard to hear because us, you know, people, we demand understanding. We demand answers, right? Sometimes we get so full of ourselves, like, no, understand. No, explain. But whenever we think about it like that, that alone, it can be damaging. You all, the sovereignty of God is a beautiful truth, and we need to reprogram our minds how we look about the sovereignty of God. Like, what does God have in store for us? So let's look at the character of God. Let me just give you a few verses. 1 Thessalonians says that he wants us to be set apart from this world. He sets us apart, like holy, like first fruits, you know? Like first fruits, beautiful, spotless, set apart from this world. He has the desire for us. Hebrews 13 says he wants to equip us for every good thing of doing his will. Like God is equipping us with every good thing of doing his will. James 1 said he wants to give us wisdom. Proverbs 3 said that he wants to make our path straight. Matthew 6 said he wants his kingdom to come here on earth so we can experience the pleasantries of his kingdom here on this earth. 2 Peter says that he doesn't want anybody to perish. Jeremiah 29 says that he wants to prosper us. John 14 says that he's prepared a place for us and he's going to come back to get us. Why am I telling you all of this, church? I'm telling you all of this because it's easy to accept the sovereignty of God when you know the love of God. Job finally understands that. He realizes the power of God. And then he begins to think about the love of God. Like, wait a minute. God isn't just some bully with a magnifying glass that he's just, you know, I'm just going through this suffering just willy-nilly because he wants to pick on me. That's not God's character. God is a good God. He's a loving father. So if he's allowing me to endure this, it has to be for my own benefit. What I need to do is to submit underneath the sovereignty of God. And even though I don't understand it, I focus on his love and I'd be okay with it. Why do you suffer? Church, I don't know. I know the testing of our faith produces perseverance. I know what the word tells me, but why people have to go through incredible amount of suffering? I mean, come on, I just got back from a funeral. Why did this guy who doesn't know Jesus yet, why did God allow him to live and to experience death of this 6-month-old baby? Why? I don't know. But I know about the love of God. And if God has all of this stuff for me, and if he tells me, hey, Richard, my ways are higher than yours, you You're going to have to be okay with that. And we focus on the sovereignty of God, and we just know that, hey, God works everything out. Like, he is in control of everything. Then we're just going to have to be okay with that. The reason why Job made me so uncomfortable is because I had a problem of submitting to the sovereignty of God. And God challenged me on that. Again, I know it's tough to hear. But he is a good dad and looks out for his children. So whatever happens to us, whatever happens to our brothers and sisters, and it's a great amount of suffering, just know it's for his benefit in one way or another. The question is, men and women, are you okay with it? I wish I could put a pretty bow at the end of the sermon. I can't. Maybe you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to wrestle with this. That's okay. God wants you to wrestle with it. He wants you to. But with my wrestling through this scripture, I submitted to God that much more. All right, God, I don't understand why all of this stuff is going on, but you do. I submit. And then he reminded me of his love that he has for me. Then I realized, okay, if this is happening, it's happening for a reason. I'm okay with that. Will everybody stand up, please? I challenge you all this week, allow God to soften up your hearts and explore this. Some of you all probably be going through a great amount of suffering. And maybe prolonged suffering, like you've been suffering for a while. You're like, God, what's up? When is this going to end? Why do I have to endure this? Maybe God would never give you an answer. Are you okay with that? The challenge to you is to know that he's sovereign and he loves you. Submit to his sovereignty. Job did, and now God restored everything back. Now, I don't know whatever you lost, is God going to restore it here on earth? I have no idea. But his word says that he's going to restore everything plus more in heaven. And that's our destination if you believe in Jesus. That's your destination. So whatever loss that I experience here, it's not going to compare to the gain that I will receive in this next life. God is good. In church, MBF, think about this. Thank you, Father. God highlighted Job. Have you considered Job? And he knew Job was righteous. He knew Job was upright. He knew Job was blameless. He knew that he was a great father. He knew he was a godly man. And God highlighted him. I want God to highlight MBF because we're upright, because we're blameless, because we're great mothers and great fathers and great brothers and sisters. And if that means that he's going to cause us to suffer, then we suffer. But he's considering us because he knows that we're strong enough to handle it. I want MBF to be that church. God, consider MBF because it's going to work out. So if that means turn up the suffering, whew, then God, turn up. I pray that God, and I know that's a tough, that is a tough prayer to pray, but we're going to look more like him. Are you worthy enough to be considered? God thinks you are because you're going to suffer sometime. But let the testing of your faith produce perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Amen? Let me pray for us and let's roll out. Father, I pray that you give us the strength to handle whatever suffering you may put on us, Father. God, I pray, Father, that we're worthy enough, that we're strong enough, that you will consider us. And even though that means more suffering, Father, if we go through our suffering the way you want us to do, we will look more like you because of it, and this world would know you. Show us what it looks like, Father, to fight through the suffering. Rely on the sovereignty of God. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Y'all take care. God bless you.